sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come up and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which he had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we come to your word, as you show us what you have done, as you show us what you have been accomplishing, and we can be certain that you will continue to accomplish this great work in our lives as we love you, as we leave everything, as we follow you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the scripture, we see Jesus again interacting with crowds. We see Jesus again interacting with individuals. If we looked and considered, what role would you and I have in this place and in this story? How would you see yourself? Would you find yourself as someone who is coming close, someone who is pushing in, someone who is coming intentionally to listen to the word of God as it is being stated? Why were people coming? What had been going on? What was taking place? Well, Jesus had been going and healing everyone. Jesus had been casting out demons. Jesus had been preaching daily in the synagogue, and somehow word gets out, or they followed him from church and they followed him down as if he went down to the river here, if we wanted to put it in our own context. So many people are pushing in around him that it's getting difficult for everyone to see him. He looks and he sees a couple of boats. He grabs one of the fishermen and says, "Push me out a bit." He gets in, he pushes them out, and everybody lines up along, and he proceeds to explain to them the kingdom of God. As he speaks and as he teaches, people hear the words of life. They're getting what they had come for. They were getting what they desired. Then Jesus does this thing, and he turns to the fishermen and says, "All right, throw in your net." The fisherman thinks, probably, "You're a carpenter. I am a fisherman. Or you're some preacher guy. Why should I listen to you?" But maybe he has seen, maybe he has heard the works that Jesus has done, and he shrugs and says, "Hasn't worked all night, but okay." I can imagine in counseling situations, telling a husband, "Love your wife like this," and he says, "Hasn't worked so far, but okay." Or to a wife, "Love your husband like this." "Hasn't worked so far, but okay." Saying to a session, "Let's work like this." "Hasn't worked so far, but okay." "Discipline your children like this." "Hasn't worked so far, but okay." "Live your life like this. Put off sin and walk in faithfulness." "Hasn't worked so far, but okay." We see a man who has been working. We see someone who has been laboring. And we see him given the same instruction that he has gotten his whole life. It hasn't worked so far, But he shrugs and says, but okay. We come today and some of us are tired. We come today, some of us have been working hard. Some of us have done a great deal of evangelism in Eastvale, in the communities around us. Some of us have worked hard with our children. Some of us would look and say, it hasn't worked so far. But okay. We look and see the hearts of the people as they gather around Jesus. And the right heart is to come eagerly. To see him as the author of life. To see him as the one who speaks life. The one who speaks truth. And why hasn't it worked so far, we might say. It just hasn't been time yet. We see again and again in Scripture these terrible things that have been on the people. We looked and saw the terrible thing that was on Job. Job was righteous and it hadn't worked so far. At a different point in Scripture, we saw a man who was born blind and his disciples asked, why was this man born blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? Jesus said it wasn't his sin, it wasn't his parents' sin, but it was so that the glory of God would be manifested. We look at our own lives, we feel the weight, we feel the pressures, we feel and know all of the disappointments that come in this life. And the answer is given here. To press in around Jesus. To draw near to him. The author of life who displays his power. And this is indeed our first step. Press around him. Look with me at verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake. We come and we see a people who are actively listening. What does that look like? What does it look like to actively listen? There has been some discussion as if about listening to a sermon. Is it an active thing or is it a passive thing? It's going to depend on you, isn't it? Are you actively listening or are you passively listening? The Scripture is described as more important than our daily bread. So if we put it in the terms of a meal, and if you think of the best meal, think of the best cook in your life. The best cook in your life. You're going to that meal. When you come to that table, are you passive or are you active at that meal? One of the great moments in one of our meals, a family member, after we prayed, he said, please pass the mashed potatoes, the corn, the gravy, the salad, the green beans. And he listed everything on the table. And we just looked at him like, are you kidding me? You think we're going to pass everything to you in this moment? But that's active. Do you come to the word and say, please give me everything? Do you come to the word and do you grab your fork and do you grab your knife? Do you cut up the meat to have it and to receive it? And this is the question, even now, in this moment, in this assembly. Are you active? Or are you passive? Are you here? Are you just going to get through this? Or are you going to take this and cut it up and chew it up and use it to strengthen your body? Is it your sustenance? Does it sustain you? Will it build you? Will it strengthen you this week? The word preached is to do that. So listen to him. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to him. We see that we do this in the context of church, Hebrews 10:25, that we gather together in the assembly and that we are not to forsake the assembly. We are to show up. We are to be here. We see in Deuteronomy 6:7 that we also do this as families. Leslie got to share her testimony, and one of her sorrows was they didn't have family worship growing up. It wasn't the scripture wasn't discussed daily in life. In your life and in our homes, you who have homes and you who have families, be in the Word with your family daily. Daily. Speak about the Scriptures when you rise up and when you lay down. When you sit down, when you go along the road. Talk about what God has done and press in on Christ because all Scripture is God-breathed. For those of us who are not in the midst of households and in that place, we press in also as individuals. Psalm 119, 148. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. There is a hunger, or there needs to be a hunger and a thirst for God's word. That is why one of our vows is that I will diligently read my Bible. And along this line, I urge you all to have a Bible. A Bible. And people have heard me say this, and I'm not joking when I say it, a primary sword. That is your go-to Bible. Have it and read it. Mark it. Go back to the things that you marked. Burn these things into your mind. Write these things on your heart. Bring your Bible to Sunday school. Bring your Bible to morning church. Bring your Bible to evening church. When you sit down, if you have family worship, grab your primary sword, open it up, and read along. Be active listeners. Active feeders. Joshua 1:18, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have success. Does that sound like something you should highlight in your Bible? Does that sound like something you should go to again and again, something you should believe? Again, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success. In Luke 5 again, verses 2 and 3, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. Look and see that it is Christ's desire to teach you. He wants to teach you. He wants you to show up. He wants you to be there. Think if that great meal had been set up. The great meal has been set up. The best cook that you know, that makes the best food that you've had. It's made, it's prepared. They say it's time to come. And you shrug and say, you know, I've decided not to eat. I don't want it. In my case, in my family, it would be, you know, Mom, I don't want that roast. I don't want those mashed potatoes. I don't want the corn. I don't want the homemade noodles. No thanks. I don't want it. I hope that sounds stupid to you, because it sounds really stupid to me. If Jesus says, got the meal, come and eat. Come and eat. Come hear me. Come be strengthened. He says it every morning. He says it every night. He says it every Sabbath morning. He says it every Sabbath night. Are you pressing in around him? Or will you take the posture? No thanks. Have decided not to eat. Our next step, number two, is he commands and we obey. Luke 5, 4 and 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. We look, and the idea of obedience is kind of strange now. The idea of listening to parents is kind of strange now. One of the things that had been discussed in Eastvale as a way to draw people in would be to do a parenting class. But for those of you that don't think you know how to do it, come on in and let's look at what the Bible says about parenting. But I'm kind of squeamish about the idea in a way. We would talk about discipline. We would talk about disciplining children. What do we do with families who would come in, or parents that would come in that would have teenagers that absolutely won't do what they're told? Now, for a lot of us, we would look and say, unheard of. How could it be? I remember the first time I was out, but I was actually in a church when it happened. A dad told a boy what to do, and the boy looked up at the dad and shouted, no. And I remember being terrified, because if that had happened in my house, there would be serious ramifications. I would have been disciplined, and I would have been disciplined severely. There is the reality, and there is the truth that when God speaks, if we don't listen, there's going to be consequences. It is going to hurt in this life. If you go through the Ten Commandments and say, well, what happens if you have other gods before him? What are the consequences? Look at the scripture and see. What happens if you make graven images? Look at the scripture and see. What happens if you take his name in vain? Look at the scripture and see. What happens if you don't remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Look at the scripture and see. It's terrifying. It's terrifying, God's response. What happens if you don't honor your father and mother? Look at the scripture and see. What happens if you murder? What happens if you commit adultery? What happens if you steal? What happens if you bear false witness? What happens if you covet? Look at the scripture and see. And it is not all God's harshness, but so much of it is the natural ramifications. And if for those of us who bear great pain in our lives, how much of that flows from people not having kept the commandments, either us or someone else? We look and he speaks and we are to obey. We look at the scripture and it is supposed to be, he is our God, we are his people. That means he speaks and we obey. John 4:23, but an hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. We come in accordance with what he has said. In truth, he commands. We obey. In Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's a completely different life. It's a new life in Christ Jesus, obeying him and following him. And then we see, and this is our third step, that as he commands and we obey, it is him who gives the fruit. Luke 5:6-7. When they had done this, that is, they had cast the net, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. I hope that language isn't too weird, that God gives the fruit. And the idea is that, you know, we plant and God causes things to grow. It's the same way in our lives. As husbands would love their wives like Christ loved the church, we could think in terms of the husband planting and working in accordance with God's word. And then there's something good comes from that. Fruit comes from that. As wives respect their husbands, they're planting and something good grows from that. God provides the fruit. God works on people's hearts as he changes them. Acts 16:14 is that picture that the Lord opened up Lydia's heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. God does the work. God changes people. Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard this, that is the gospel proclaimed, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. So, did Simon do something different when he threw the net out? Something different than he had done all night long? The only thing that was different was that time God said, do it. Do it. In your life, what have you been trying to do that hasn't worked? Where have you been working and laboring? Where have you been working a garden, we could say, and plowing and planting, and there has been nothing? But when God says do it, we still go on and we look for him in his time to bring the fruit. Our next step, number 4, is to be amazed by Jesus. And if you're filling these things in, you could also put be terrified by Jesus. You could put be shocked by Jesus. Stand in awe of Jesus. Luke 5, 8 through 10, but when Simon Peter saw that was the net completely filled with fish, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with him. Fear came over him. Now, as we look at this, is a bunch of fish something to be afraid of? Not, I wouldn't think so. But I would have every expectation that throughout the night, as he worked and as he got nothing, it's a different place when you work for yourself. It'd be a different place when you have to catch fish and you have to be able to sell fish to feed your family. Like a good Jew, a good man who had been raised in synagogue at this point, I expect that throughout the night he was calling out, "Yahweh, give me a catch. Jehovah, give me a catch." Maybe he went to Psalm 24 and said, "You've made everything. You have all authority over everything. You have all authority over the sea and everything that swims in it. Give me a catch." And then when this teacher comes and says, "Cast in," and he sees his prayer answered, he realizes at that place he is face to face with Yahweh. Face to face with Jehovah. Face to face with God himself, who knows everything, even what is within a man. At the realization of coming face to face with God, something happens to us when we know he knows. He knows us. He knows where we have been. He knows what we have done. Such a moment strikes an individual and drives an individual to his knees. Have you met him? Have you met him? Has he answered you? Have you pressed in upon him? Have you heard him? Are you hearing him? Are you listening to him? He speaks life, and apart from him, there is no life. He speaks life, and apart from him is only death. Eternal death away from God's loving kindness, away from his favor. He lays out the picture now. Look with me at verses 9 through 11. For amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with him. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." What's he mean? What's he mean now? I mean, he's telling him, so far you've had a job. So far, you've done it. So far, you've done a work of casting net. So far, you've done a work of gathering. And now he says, no longer casting a net that you have sewn together or purchased, but now you will be casting out the word of God. Now, instead of drawing in fish, you will be drawing in men to my kingdom. It is an understanding of having come face to face with Jehovah, Yahweh, God himself, that changes a man's heart and draws him to God. We see then in verse 11 the response. When they had brought in their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. What will that mean for you? To leave everything and follow him. It's going to be an active thing throughout the course of your life. Some of us could name a date. Some of us could say in 1991, my life changed and I began to follow him. Some of us could say in 1997, my life changed and I began to follow him. Some of us could say in 2018, my life changed and I began to follow him. But the process continues. As we look at the things that we've held on to and we do hold on to, the things that we have not been willing to give up, where does he call you to change? Where does he draw you now? And the burden that will come to so many of us says, I've tried. I've tried. I have fished all night. And I have caught nothing. But we look and we see that it is Christ who brings the increase. In Christ, your labor is not in vain. Your work is not empty. The gospel that you continue to speak to your unsaved loved ones, to your parents, to your children, to your brothers, to your sisters, to your cousins, it is not in vain. God's word always accomplishes what it has been meant to do. As the rain and the snow falls on the mountains and rolls down and does not return without accomplishing the purposes that God has set out for it, God's word never returns void. It does what it is meant to do. Press in on him. He does the work. Press in on him. He gives the increase. Press in on him. He gives new hearts. Diligently read your Bible. Be active listeners. Be active followers and obey him. Pray with me. Our God, we rejoice in you. That you have not given up on us, though we have worked hard all night long and we have caught nothing. We thank you that you will do your good work in your good time. Bless us as your children. Bless us as sons and daughters. Bless us as parents and brothers and sisters and grandparents. Bless us as neighbors, as we would proclaim what you have said. That we would catch many men, many women, that they would be drawn into your kingdom, and that you would be glorified. Help us, God, for you and for your name's sake. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.